James chapter 4. We are getting close to the end of James.
Only 3 more months.
Yeah, 3 more months to go. And after this, we're going to study his brother's book. Guess what that is? Joshua? His brother's book, James's brother is Joshua? There's only about 2,000 years difference.
His older brother.
He's a really older brother. No? Jude. He was a real brother. Mother and yeah. Jude and James are half brother of Jesus. However, between James and Jude, they are both real brothers and brothers. They have the same father, not brother and sister, just brothers. Just think it's a soap opera thing, okay? So we're going to go into Jude. And Jude is a really long book, guys. Really long. It's long, 24 verses. Probably we'll go through about 8 to 9 studies. Trust me, I can lengthen that quite long. So read ahead. Jude is a tremendous book. I think it runs in the family between, Jude and James. They both pack up punches. It's a short book. 5 chapters is relatively short. And this guy he doesn't talk a whole lot to compare with the Apostle Paul or the author of the book of Hebrews. And he said in the book of Hebrews, I only wrote a short letter. And then, he's at the chapter 14. And he goes on, another chapter 2 chapters. So James and Jude, both very relevant and practical. And another thing that you will find in Jude is that a lot of extra biblical fact that we find, which we don't find in other way. Also, you can find some of the content, you find extra biblical content from Jude. You can also find the 1st and 2nd Peter, especially 1 Peter. So, with all said and done, and then let's talk about James, book of James again, chapter 4. Tonight's study title is My Way. Frank Sinatra's song. And I did it my way. How does it start? At the end? And it goes on, and I did it my way. You know, that is a great theme song for humanity. Because I did it my way, not your way, not God's way, but it's my way. Especially, it's a great theme song for the dot-com company president or CEOs or anyone who accomplished their own will and their goals. However, if that person accomplished all of that, at whose cost? Family's cost or those who loved? And somebody had to sacrifice something for them to put that many hours. It's not uncommon thing for the CEOs or the vice president of the big corporation to put if they really worked, putting between 60 to 80 hours a week. That divided by the 6 days, usually they work 6 days, then 80 hours a week divided by 6, and you're talking about 13 hours a day. That means you get to have 11 hours. 11 hours traveling back and forth and then sleeping 6 hours, 6 to 7 hours. Who get the leftover hours? So there is a lot of sacrifice done by other people, and it is no wonder divorce rate is so high. And because of their way, because of their own law, God, we whom we need most, sit in the back seat or sit in not even the picture. Worldly way should not come into a Christian way. In Christian life, it is nothing has, God have nothing to do with our ways, but His ways. His way, God's way, is the most important thing than anything in our life. Obviously, from what we're going to study, we can guess that James talking to the Jewish Christian in Jerusalem, they were having problem with their own carnal way, and they want their way. So he is stating and telling them how to be in God's way. Verse 1 of chapter 4, this is a very important thing for you to pay attention, is that we find verses 1 and 2, we find their quarrelsomeness and covetousness. Verse 3 alone, we find unanswered prayer because of selfishness. Verse 4 through 10, we find spiritual unfaithfulness and pride. So let's go over that thing one at a time. First, chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, quarrelsomeness. And covetousness. O-U-S. Verse 3, unanswered prayer. Because of selfishness. Verse 4 through 10, we find spiritual unfaithfulness. You can sit over there. And pride. Did I chase you away, Jack?
No, I'll let them sit up front. I'll sit back here.
You can bring a chair out in the back. All right. None of these things, if you notice, none of them is godly. Oh, by the way, I made extra L there. Sorry. Quarrelsomeness and covetousness. And the second one, unanswered prayer because of selfishness. And spiritual unfaithfulness and pride. If that's not bad enough, in verse 11 through 12, 11 and 12, it talks about slander. And verse 13 through 17 talking about boasting. So this chapter 4 is, in my opinion, is a climax of James. Just pounding our heart with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. We should not have any of these things, but let's face it, we do have it, don't we? We tend to quarrel with other people. We tend to be covetous. We tend to be selfish in our prayer, demanding God what we need. What we want, like a homo too, that kind of thing. And then we slander other people, and we are unfaithful spiritually. And we have pride. So even though we should not have, we exercise time to time. After tonight's study, maybe we'll do less. I wouldn't say we won't do a period, but we will do less. All right, before we start, let's pray. What a study we are going to have, Lord. And it's going to be an awesome study. But Don't let it be just another Bible knowledge, but let it be something we live on. We are guided by your word, your way. Teach us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 1 of chapter 4. Where do your words and fights come from among you? When I was studying this, I thought, are you talking about current war, God? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that wars in your members? In a way, the whole Gulf War started with modern-day Nebuchadnezzar, who believed Saddam Hussein, he actually believed he's the modern-day Nebuchadnezzar. And that's why one of his statue has a helmet, old ancient helmet he's wearing. I thought that guy is in La La Land. Anyway, he wants the Kuwait oil, as if he doesn't have enough oil. He wants the gold from the Kuwait. So he invaded the country, and consequences, they got beat up, and now they're being beat up again. So it's coming from the covetousness and quarrelsomeness. They want to fight. They will take anything away from people. What is the definition of a covetousness? And I looked at the dictionary. It says it very well. Excessive desire to get that which belongs to others. Somebody wants to call Pam so bad.
No, that's the cell phone. It's a late cell phone.
Oh. It's okay. It's all right. Just ignore it. A little later, I'll answer. Do you know what we're doing? Excessive desire to get that which belongs to others, or having craving for others' possession. Now, if you pass by the auto dealership looking at the Corvette and say, wow, that's a nice car, that's one thing. But if you start to have covetousness and wanting to get it no matter what, and like a breaking and entering and stealing the Corvette, that's true definition of covetousness. Stick your finger right there, please. We're going to go to the two different areas very often. Exodus 20. So put your finger there and Exodus 20. Is everything okay? Is everything all right? All right. Any of you guys know the Ten Commandments? Who can recite the Ten Commandments? Used to be. Come on. Try it, Tiffany. First one. Okay. Okay. Okay, you skipped already two of them. Very good. That's the third one. Fourth one. That's the tenth one. Very good. Fourth one. What is it? Fourth one. That's the one. Yeah. Very good. She's getting there. Fourth one. Keep the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath. She does better than I do. All right. Ten Commandments can be split in two. Four, talking about God. Six, talking about our life. If you notice, none of them talks about us. Me, mine, myself, that kind of thing, or you individually. So it's about other people, taking care of other people. And everything starts. And the last sixth one is, thou shalt not. And the first portion is pretty much start with, thou shalt not. But in the fourth one, keep the Sabbath and the holy. First, if you look at stick your finger right there, and then let's go back to chapter 4 of James. Verse 1, we read, and that relates to, you might want to mark as Exodus 2017. Let's go to 2017 Exodus, which is the last commandment. What is it? I cannot hear you. Very good. Okay. It's not just you covet your neighbor's house, you should covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey. In other words, in nowadays, that you should not covet cars, you know, or Hummers, speaking to me, and anything that is your neighbor's. So this is talking about covetousness. And James, as a pillar of the first century Jewish church, he is grounding them back, going back to the Old Testament, and reminding them this is coming from Old Testament scripts, from the Torah. So reminding them heavily. At verse 2, you lust, underline lust, please. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. I actually underlined the word lust. What is the lust? And it's not just, ooh, baby, come here, that kind of thing. That's more than, it's more than that. Actually, this word, the lust, is coming from the Greek word. Epithumio, what does it mean? Seeking that is forbidden has a different meaning. In other words, we are wanting there's something that we are not supposed to have. Guess who had this in her eyes day one? Very good. She can read the lips very well. Anyway, Eve, look, remember when the serpent said, are you sure God said not to eat that thing? And she said, God said don't touch it. As I told you before, she could hang upside down on the tree. She could juggle that fruit. God wouldn't care. But she said, God told me not to touch it. She twisted God's word on top of it. She looked at it. It was good for her eyes. Remember Samson went to the Gaza and looked at the prostitute, he asked his parents, get her for me because she looked good in my, what? Eyes. Lust at eyes. Seeking that is forbidden. Epithumio. Now, this is not just stop there. Lust bring another desire. Want to go into more than that. To get that is forbidden, we have to, if we have lustful desire, not necessarily sexual desire, the demanding in our heart that we want more than what we allowed to have, that is forbidden, we want to commit murder in our heart and come up with something horrendous things. So we see here, you murder, covet, and not obtain. You fight, war, you do not have because you do not ask. So, okay, some people, I told you about one of my clients who said, oh, I never kill anyone, so I'm a good guy, I will go to heaven. Well, then I asked him, have you ever thought about killing somebody in your heart? Yeah. So as I told him, you're a murderer. In Jesus' word, if we hate brothers, if we think about nailing somebody in our heart, we pretty much murdered that person. Okay, if you don't agree with me, now your finger got to spread a few inches. Exodus, keep your finger in one, Exodus chapter 20, and stick your finger in chapter 4 of James, and let's go to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3. I was wondering how the Chuck Swindoll could find his pages so fast. Not only he knows where they go, but he actually used 3x5 cards when I saw him. So he just flipped to the right page. That's a cheat sheet. 3:15 of 1 John. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. What does it say? Who hates his brothers? And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Does it mean if we say bad things on the highway because somebody cut us off, does it mean we cannot go to heaven? But if the case, I will be in hell for a long, long, long eternal life. And don't look at me like that. You never do that kind of thing. We all do that, don't we? Yeah, the car, I'm talking to you. And Pam, too. We all have some lead foot problems. So it's not just that we keep the short account so we renew our heart with God. See, we do want something we are not supposed to have. And what's the opposite of covetousness and covetousness? One word, starting with a C. Huh? Come on. What did you say, Jenny? Huh? I'm sorry, what is it?
Generosity.
Generosity? How about contentment? Oh, yeah. Contentment is something they settle within their heart. I have enough. And while the other people say, I want more. Somebody asked this, I forgot who, I think it's Getty. How much money do you want? And this billionaire in America said, just a little more. That's covetousness. However, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Very good. Please remember. So when we want another BMW, another Corvette, or another house, another extra things, another airsoft gun. Before we do that, is it really necessary? Is it contentment? If you have extra money to do it, I always go for it. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with a hobby. But if it costs something, then it's another problem. There's no tremendous difference. There is a tremendous difference between wishing to have something someday, just like I always talk about. I like to have a Hummer 2 someday. It's another thing to have. I want that. Period. Now, that brings to the verse 3 unanswered prayer because of selfishness. Prayer, not pray. Verse 3, you ask, do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasure. Let's bring the thing and chew that one more time. You ask, you do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on pleasures. What is the reason why God does not give us everything we want? Yes. It's okay. Come on. It's all right. I think I know. Discipline is a good thing. Huh? God knows what is good for us. Have you ever been in the grocery store? And there's a little kid. You know, they set up this thing perfectly. At the checkout counter, all this little thing at the, how high? About yeah high, where the kids can see. And the kid said, I want mommy, I want tic-tac, I want tic-tac, I want tic-tac, I want tic-tac. I thought, why don't they just dump the whole tic-tac box on that kid? Just shut him up. Yeah, and then maybe he'll fly around the wall. Now, this, I think somebody really enjoyed that. All right. I never thought about that.
You can bend over and get the same
feel. Is that right?
Blood rushes to your head.
Let's try to go back to the study. Thanks a lot, Jenny and Connie. And Carl.
I got 5 grandkids. I know.
Hush. Why God does not give, when we demand God what we want, He doesn't give us like that mother who is just put that couple of tic tacs on the counter, slam it down?
Not good for us. We'll take our eyes off God.
Very good. If we want, if we get everything we want, who is in charge? And who is supposed to be in charge? So in other words, if I just say, okay, God, I want this now, He's not a bellboy that hops off His chair from throne and then give it to us. Why? Because He knows. If the little kid said, I want chocolate in the morning, chocolate in the lunchtime, chocolate on the night, probably Carl used to do that. That's why he is acting now that way. And Pam is the one who lived with that kind of thing.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. This is being recorded. It's going to go on the internet. No. Live. Anyway, we become disciplined, we don't depend on God. I said this before, if we get everything we want, we don't depend on God. We just tell Him what to do. And there is a doctrine that called the faith movement. Literally they said, claim it. God owes you. However, they forget one very important aspect. 1 John chapter 5, please. Since we are there, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And the favorite verse they quote is, ask what? Jesus said, you shall receive. Knock, the door will be opened. Anything you ask in my name will be given to you. However, they forget that it's a cross-reference verse with this particular verse. That is verse 14 of chapter 5, 1 John. Now, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything, next few words, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of Him. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is an extremely important statement, so I'm going to ask you to pay attention. Prayer is not ordering. It's not like picking up the phone and the mail or the catalog. Or it's not like going on the internet and ordering from the internet catalog. Prayer is not ordering. But it is reporting for duty. See the difference? Prayer is not ordering God that we want to get what we want. Prayer is reporting for duty. Asking God, use me for your glory in whatever circumstance, whatever situation. Another thing is prayer is so important. We have to align our will according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. We are supposed to align our will with whose will? His will. Not our will. Not aligning His will with ours. We are made for His pleasure, not He made for our pleasure. I cannot overemphasize this enough. How many people thought, hey, God owes me to do this because He said it in the Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said it, but remember, Word of God is following the context. We will do if Jesus said and apostles do. We'll do. Did you hear what I said? Jesus command and apostles do, we do. Jesus says, we do. Apostle doesn't do, Jesus didn't say, we don't do. That's why you don't find membership in Calvary Chapel. Some people ask, where's the membership? Do you know who it belongs to? We don't. Make yourself available to us. Make yourself known to us. I don't find anywhere in the Bible says membership. You have to sit here. And, oh, by the way, how much is your income? Who cares? It's between you and God. You want to give money to church? So church can work for God? Fine. If not, put the money somewhere where God can use it. But God doesn't need your money. Jack said that there was somebody died and carried a chunk of gold and went to the heaven. And of course, he said, why you bring the what?
Street
man to the heaven? Because it's, nobody paved the street of gold so far. There's one person who would do that kind of thing. God. He doesn't need money, but he is, wants to see what, how much we can trust. That's the whole other subject. Let's go back to chapter 20 of Exodus. This is pretty good, jumping from Exodus 20 to the first John, end to end. Chapter 20, verse 3. You shall have no other God before me. What do you mean? Why else did I bring this thing to here? Why? Because of selfishness. All of a sudden, we are putting ourselves before him. Selfishness and the pride. Why did the Lucifer, formerly known in, as Lucifer, but he's current name is the devil and Satan. Why did he fall according to Isaiah? Because of pride. Why? Because he was selfish. I shall make myself like most high. Okay, back to 1 John chapter 2. Chapter 2, 15, please. Do not love the world or think in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of Father is in him. This is so important. First John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Now, we have to understand this concept before we go to chapter 4 of verse 4 in James. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world and love of Father is not in him. All that in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life is not of Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, and he who does will of God dies forever. Okay, go ahead and stick your finger here, and then let's go back to chapter 4, verse 4 in James. Verse 4. Adulterers, do you not know the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. That's almost identical meaning as the first chapter 2, verse 15 through 7, don't you think? If we love the world, we are the love of Father is not in us. I ask you to underline the enmity is word ekthenia, kind of the Greek word C-H-T-H-N-I-A, ekthenia. Enmity was in sense E-C-H-T-H-N-I-A, ekthenia. Actual meaning is hatred, not just don't like somebody. It's literally passion, despising, hating God. See, Jesus mentioned about the person cannot serve God and what? Mammon, money. One or another, they both each other exclude each other. So we cannot serve mammon and God. Are we trying to rouse jealousy from God? Are we bigger than Him? Are we stronger than Him? For, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26 says, let's go to the verse 5 of chapter 4 in James. And do you think that scriptures in vain, spirit who dwells in us, yearn jealously? God is jealous God. Who? For us. Because He wants us to dwell in Him so that we may not fall into this deep ditch or deep pit of mocking mind that only comes from selfish and prideful desire. See, we all heard of grieving the Holy Spirit. You guys heard that word, grieving the Holy Spirit. When they use that in context, it's most often is in, if you exercise spiritual gift, we're grieving the Holy Spirit, correct? Way is true, but the grief of the Holy Spirit is coming from, in my understanding, the word is when we do things not pleasing God, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Does it mean we hurt the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. Can we hurt Him? No. He is grieving for who? For us. He is not grieving Himself. He is grieving for us because He knows that we are going the wrong direction. Let me put it this way. Our kids, we just hope that they go in proper way, godly way, not do anything. Let's say my daughter, she's married. Let's say she is still 16. And she said, Daddy, you got to meet this guy. He's so cool. And he's coming over tonight. And there was a knock on the door. I opened the door, and this guy in jet and paint his face white and won't straight up and down. And paint his lips with a black lipstick and think that he, if he passed metal detector without his chain around his body, they would set him off because of the thing is on his face. And he's in a little marijuana sticking out on his lips and, dude, is Michelle here? And I would look for my daughter. That's right after I grieved, grieve first, then I will shoot him. There's a priority. See, I wasn't not grieving because I'm hurt. I'm grieving because of my daughter. That's the same with the Father in heaven. He doesn't grieve. The Holy Spirit is not grieving because He was hurt. He's not because He's disappointed. He knew, but He was grieving for us. All right, we're getting way too long. Let's go back to chapter 20 of Exodus. Verse 4 and 5. You shall not make yourself a carved image and likeness of anything that is heaven above or that is the earth beneath, that is in the water on the earth, under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, am jealous God, and visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Some people think that this is a generation curse. It's not. If you understand this correctly, going down to fourth, third and fourth generation who carried out their own idol worship. Double-minded Christians are miserable people. Because in the world, they think we are double-minded people. They think we are idiot because we are Christian. And while we are in the church, we are torn within our heart and within our heart because we get convicted by the Holy Spirit, by the Word. So we cannot go into either direction. Let's go to verse 4 of chapter 4 in James. But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud and gives grace to humble. Actually, this is coming from the Proverbs 3:34. You might want to take a look at it later. Between verse 7 through 10, there's a 10 commandments, not commandments. 10 commands are listed. And I ask you to pay attention, and you might put some notes in there. Verse 7 of the 4 in James. 1. Therefore, submit to God. That's number 1. Number 2. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. It didn't say, fight against the devil and claim the name of Jesus and rebuke him in the name of Jesus. No, he simply said, submit to God. That's the first step. Then resist the devil. So when we go through this horrendous, wicked thought, wicked concept, cry out to God with one word. Doesn't have to be flowery word. Say Jesus. If you want to be a little bit afraid, save me, help me. That's enough. Submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. And change the situation, circumstance. If you're in a place where you and I will be tempted, we should walk away from that place. Ask God's help. Jesus, help me, and walk away. What? Then gone. It will return for me. Now, verse 8, third command comes. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. We have to make the initiation. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Fourth, cleanse your hand. This guy really not make a friend. You sinners. Number 5, purify your heart. You double-minded. Before, in the Old Testament, and the priests, before they go into the tabernacle, they have to wash their hands and wash their feet in the bronze basin. It's their way to purify their heart, is symbolizing. And as you, some of you guys know, the bronze represents what? Judgment. And asking to judge my heart and judge my body and cleanse me. So we find from verse 9, there's a 4 commands, one after another. Lament, moan, and weep. That's what, 6 and 8. Number 9, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. That means God wants us to walk around with mourning and groaning and crying all the time? No. Be serious about our sin. What kinds of damage is doing in the heart? Get away from it. So in other words, command 6th to command the 9th shows our attitude toward repentance. Verse 10, this is the commandment. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. In Matthew 20, verse 12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 23:12 says. So if we humble ourselves in the sight of God, He will lift up. It's better for us to come to God and be crushed, and then rock fall upon us and crush. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of anger. It's better for us to humble ourselves and make it right with God. If you notice, let's back from the verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and He will from you. Draw near to God, and He will near to us. Cleanse your hand and your sinners, and purify your heart, double-minded. Lament and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. And verse 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. If you notice, step by step, from the down here, coming to God, submitting ourselves, all to the being exalted by God, not ourselves, being exalted by God, step by step. Each step is a required one thing. From who? Us. It requires initiation from our part, not God's part. If we make an effort, He will come us. So let's make an application. One application. We need to examine ourselves. Self-examination is so important. If I can draw the same verse, draw near to Him, cleanse our hands, our heart, purify our heart, and humble ourselves. And God will take care of the rest. Okay? Any questions? You all right, Jack?
Yeah, just got a couple.
Did you swallow the frog again?
Yeah.
Louisa, I told you to feed him. All right. Any questions? Okay. Remember what James said. Do not be a doer. Do not be a hearer the other way around. Don't laugh at me, Tina. Do not be a hearer only, but what? Doer. We are told what to do. So let's do it. Thank you. We are right.